the sound of it, the only thing you're going to give him is a list of stuff he needs to do to make you happy. That is not a good deal for a guy.
My friends, welcome to the Sheep Get Sheared podcast. I'm your host, Austin Creed, and my friends, today we're going to revisit Christian love. We're going to talk about why I believe it to kind of be built off of a fraud, or at the very least, for it to be something that's disingenuous and not what a lot of people want to pretend that it is. It's an unseen battle that's going on in the church today, and I really think that we would be doing a disservice to not highlight it. So, what we're going to do today is we're going to be looking at some videos. Of course, I'm going to give my commentary. But more than anything, my friends, what I want to do is I'm very thankful for this. A lot of men have been joining the channel, and they've been sharing their thoughts, their comments, their stories on the show in the comment section of these videos. I love it. I would love for that to continue, because at the end of the day, when we realize we're not alone with the difficulties of Christian women, when we realize we're not alone with a lot of the double standards and the double dipping being exposed in the churches today, and how it's really kind of, is this not as common as it used to be, but there was this shop called Build-A-Bear. Now we have Build-A-Gump in the Christian church. We have Build-A-Beta. And I'm not saying that to insult you. I'm saying that because when I look in the church today, a lot of the guys, they're kind of goofball-y. They're good men, for the most part. Absolutely, they are. But the problem is, their gullibleness is being exploited by the women who are actually out here in these streets who are double dipping. And I know I'm not alone with this. And I don't appreciate people trying to gaslight me into thinking that it doesn't happen. Trust me, I have eyes and I have ears, okay? Just because I covered up my headphones doesn't mean that I don't have them. But look, it's time we really address this. And we're gonna look at some videos. And we're going to explore why I would say that Christian love is kind of based off of a fraud. One of the things I really want to point out is a lot of the reason why Christian love is not what you think it is because people like to use this flamboyant, spiritual, Christian, I call it Christianese. Like, if you're a non-Christian, or maybe you're kind of a casual Christian, I don't get into all these titles. I don't really care about this. Oh, you're not a real Christian. I don't care about all that garbage, man. Like, I'm not God. I don't get to decide who's real, who's not real. I don't do that. I don't play that game. But what I will say is this. When you look at what people do versus what they say, and when you look at what people say, for example, oh, I used my faith and I used the trust and I waited on this. And it's like, what are you actually saying? Like, how do we actually live these things out, for goodness sake? A lot of people want to use flamboyant and philosophical sounding language, whether it's on TikTok or even in the church itself. And they want to make it seem like, oh, yeah. Yeah, man, that was really profound. I didn't understand a word you said, but it sounded nice, so, you know, it must make sense. No. I don't play that game over here. We're, on this channel, we're all about actually living this. Realistically, I'm not talking about the idealism. I'm not going to argue idealism with people because it's a waste of time. It's a waste of time. I'm talking more about how can we actually live this out? How can we actually build a lifestyle and make this applicable every day of our lives? How can we build a foundation for ourselves and actually be able to follow it? Kind of like a diet. You know, a lot of people diet and they'll do this crash fad diet for like a month, and then they'll just completely gorge themselves afterwards, completely negating all their progress. That's what a lot of people do with idealism. They'll be like, oh, I need to like not ever have sex ever. And then I can't have a sexual thought, and I can't do this, and I can't do that. And it's like, you realize that people got married, like, after they had a bat mitzvah for men, and a bar mitzvah for, a bat mitzvah for women, and a bar mitzvah for the men, and in Jewish culture, which is where Christian culture stems from, in case you didn't know that. In case maybe you've never read the Old Testament, or the Torah, or the Talmud, or the 12 books of Moses. I understand you may not know that, but that's the truth. And the problem is, people want to take the culture, and then they want to like create this Frankenstein of, oh, well, this is the way the things should be. It's like, no, this is the way things were, and now we have this current culture and it is not compatible with the actual teachings of the Bible at all. But now we're trying to find a way to mix it and make nobody happy. That's basically what we found today. And without further ado, we're going to jump into these clips and I'm going to show you what I'm talking about. A lot of men, you might suspect this, but you're not going to call it out like I do, because at the end of the day, you're a nicer person than me. But, well, here's the first thing we're going to look at. Look at this. Let's watch this video. And then, please, as we watch these videos, or as you watch them after I've done the show, please leave me your comments. Please leave your thoughts. I know I'm not alone with all these reactions, and I'm very passionate about this. I might come off as anger. I'm not angry. I'm just passionate about trying to expose people who are ruining the very system that they're trying to get you to participate in. Let's watch this video.
Before God ever next levels you, he separates you. Stop calling it loneliness. You're not alone. You've been separated. Now listen, God separates us for three reasons. Number one, anytime God separates you, it's because I want to give you the tools necessary for your destiny. That's the first reason I've separated you. You're not alone, boo-boo. You've been separated.
What?
The second reason that God separates you is because I want you to clearly know my voice. You're surrounded by too many voices to where you can't hear my voice, from the coach's voice to your friend's voice to your bae's voice to your mama's voice. I need you to know my voice. So I'm going to put you in a season where I can train you and teach you how to know my voice. And the third reason that God separates us, which is my personal favorite, he separates us to make us unrecognizable to the people who only knew us by our wound.
Wait, what? Hold on a minute. What?
Well, this is getting weird.
I'm confused. So, in other words, this is God's fault. Because you're single, this is God's fault. It's not because maybe you're not a great relationship material. It's not because maybe you've hooked up with Chad and Tyrone a lot in the past and now you're trying to pretend like that's not an issue and it's in the past and it doesn't affect the present at all. Let's start this over from the beginning and let's really break this down. I wanted it to play in full, and now we're gonna break it down piece by piece.
Before God ever next levels you, he separates you. Stop calling it loneliness. You're not alone. You've been separated.
I love how we're reframing everything. You know how I talk about on this show reframing the men and how we need to think about things differently? Women do this all the time. They'll take, oh no, I'm not lonely because of my bad mistakes. I'm not single because, like, I've made my mistakes in my relationships. No, they'll say that you are the problem because you're not there. In other words, they want to be like Rapunzel in Tangled and hang out in their tower, painting their wall, doing their nails, playing with their gecko, and then they want Flynn Rider, who's a Christian guy, who's great, who has money, who's hot, and all these things, to just show up. It's your job to show up, to plan the dates, to impress her, to do all these things, but you can't ask about her past. You can't ask, wait a minute, what's your body count? Because then don't get mad. You can't ask, wait a minute, how are you 24, 25, a woman, a Christian, and single? And yet you say your body count's non-existent. You realize that that's not possible. I'm not talking about improbable. It's not possible, okay? Look, I am not going to sit here and make this make-believe of, oh, well, Austin, like, a woman could be 25 and a virgin? Really? Let me tell you something right now, okay? I'm younger than 25. I am not a virgin, and I am a man. As a man, to get sex, you have to actually give and provide and be somebody. A woman, all you gotta do is really ask the first guy you come across, no pun intended, and then ask him and that's it. And lay there, and that's it. And you want to tell me that despite it being the number one biggest influence they have over men, they're just gonna not use it ever. No social media, no hot guys, no fleeting, no romance novels, nothing, right? Please, 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 if you believe that, please leave my channel, because you are the problem. You, my friend, you're the problem, and you're the reason why I do these videos, because it's your ignorance that is leading you to
to being the guy that's now going to probably get a Christian divorce. Because you're the guy who's going to call me the problem, but then get with a woman who's been doing complete double backflips on Brad and Chad and front flips on Tyrone, and then you want to pretend like she's a good woman now. She's never been a good woman. But you want it to be... women do this thing too, where they want the bad boy to be the good man, but a lot of men do the same thing. They want the bad girl to suddenly... like, they want to make a hoe into a housewife, and it's not possible. We need to stop doing it.
Now listen, God separates us for three reasons. Number one, anytime God separates you, it's because I want to give you the tools necessary for your destiny.
What does that actually mean? Can someone actually interpret what that means? What is this whole thing? Okay, can someone explain to me? Maybe even though I grew up in the church, I still am too ignorant to understand this very apparently basic concept that all these girls talk about on TikTok. Can someone explain to me how it's God's job to find you a man? It's God's job to change you. It's God's job to do all... what are women supposed to do? Like, let's look at this woman. This woman is not ugly. This woman is decent looking. She's kind of a plain Jane, but she's not bad looking. She could have a husband. So then the question becomes, why does she not have a husband? Answer, because the husband is not the guy that she's imprinted on in the past, but he's Christian. That's the thing she's looking for. She never stopped looking for Chad. She never quit her chase of Tyrone, but she wants Chad to go to Bible study. She wants Tyrone to go to church. She wants them, the guys who look like that, the guys who are desired by other women like that. They want that guy to also be a moral Christian guy who has all these access to these women, but still only wants them. That's what they want. But they can't find that guy because he doesn't exist. Christian men don't operate like that. They're usually pretty good, consistent, nice men who women are only attracted to when they've hit the wall or after they've just, they're not in their prime anymore. And that's why you see a lot of older Christian women putting on makeup, which is sorcery by biblical definitions, by the way, in case you wanted to know. They now want to lecture you about what Christian women bring to the table. Okay, where was that 20 years ago when she looked like this? Where was that? When she had nice blonde hair, she looked like she's early 20s, maybe, you know? Where was that back then? Answer, you were still looking for the guy who looked like Chris Pratt, or the guy who looks like Brad Pitt, who also had all these things. That's what they're not telling you.
That's the first reason I've separated you. You're not alone, boo-boo. You've been separated. The second reason that God separates you is because I want you to clearly know my voice.
Can anybody tell me what the voice of God actually sounds like? Look, I want to be honest with you. I'm not telling you that God doesn't talk. I'm not foolish enough to say that. But what I will say is God tends... I'll bring up my personal examples for a second. When I've seen the most success is when I'm doing something and things don't seem to work for me in one way or another, but then suddenly stuff starts to work. Maybe I'm trying three different things at one time, and then one out of those three things seems to be working somewhat decently, then I'm going to say, you know what, I think that's what God wants me to do. That's what I do. I don't sit there and I'm not like, all right, God, tell me what to do, I'm listening, because that's typically not how God works anymore. I don't understand this whole thing. Anytime somebody tells me that God literally talks to them, I look at them like they're kind of crazy. Oh, I know they could be telling me the truth, but I'm skeptical. Like, how does someone who's not Christian actually do what you're talking about? This is what I said earlier about people who are maybe casual Christians, or maybe they're not Christians or whatever, and they hear stuff like this and they think you're insane. Okay? Like, how do we actually live this out? That's what I don't understand. People want to talk in woo-woo language that makes no sense, and this is the problem.
You're surrounded by too many voices to where you can't hear my voice, from the coach's voice, to your friend's voice, to your bae's voice.
Who uses the term bae? What is this, 2012?
Your mama's voice? I need you to know my voice. So I'm going to put you in a season where I can train you and teach you how to know my voice.
And I find it funny, the same women who will want to teach me or teach you as a man about how to listen to God are the same women who have a hard time listening to their fathers or their husbands. You ever notice that? It's the same women who are very defiant and don't listen to anybody but their feelings are the same people to lecture you about how to find God. You ever notice that? Maybe it's just me, I don't know.
And the third reason that God separates us, which is my personal favorite, he separates us to make us unrecognizable to the people who only knew us by our wound.
What does that mean?
What?
Again, can somebody explain what the hell that's supposed to mean? See, this is why on this show, I don't use language like this. This is why I use very precise words. I try to explain things as thoroughly as possible, because I never want to sound like that guy. I never want to sound like I'm using a bunch of words to say nothing, or using words that don't make any actual logical sense. They make feelings sense, that they make you feel something, but they don't actually logically compute at all. Alright, let's go to the next video. Speaking of what doesn't make sense logically, let's see what this woman has to say, and hopefully she makes a little more sense.
I'm so excited about this word. Like, God has changed my life. Like, I could literally do laps around the room right now because he's changed my life with this on a question I've asked for years. And I share the same question on TikTok, on Christian TikTok. Oh.
He's wearing a Disney sweatshirt, brother. Oh, no. Gentlemen, anytime a woman says that she's a big Disney person, just so you know, that's code for I'm a hopeless romantic black hole for affection. I want to have a Disney princess life type of treatment. Just so you know, that's what that signifies. So we're already off to a rough start. But maybe she's going to make a great point here. I have no idea. Let's see.
All the time. And I haven't heard it from any of the sermons I've watched, the podcasts I've listened to, or any of the church circles I've been in for years. And he's putting me in this waiting season, but why? Why am I having to wait for so long whenever I'm following you? I see other people out here doing the wrong things, and they're getting these beautiful relationships. But why is it that whenever I'm following you, and I'm requesting biblical love, I'm having to wait for so long?
My question, ma'am, is A, how old are you? B, what's your body count? And C, how much do you weigh? And I'm going for Kevin Samuels, may he rest in peace. Let's actually have a conversation real quick, okay? Ma'am, just because you pray, just because you read the Bible, just because you do these things does not mean that God owes you something or anybody else owes you something. See, this is the misnotion. This is why I really don't like it when people use like the, oh, I'm praying, oh, I'm reading my Bible, oh, I'm going to church, where's my significant other, where's this, where's that? God doesn't owe you anything, bro. Number one, God's a busy guy, okay? God is a very busy guy, okay? So there's that. There's also it seems like you're just trying to find a dude to marry you, which is A, very suspicious. Gentlemen, anytime a woman tries to rush you into a relationship, it's a huge red flag, just so you know. You might think this is great, but then you gotta ask yourself, wait a minute. If this is such a good deal, and if I'm all that, why is she choosing me? Why does she want a relationship from me so badly? What happened to her in the past? What's her body count? What are all these things that are indicators of relationship success? These are the things you gotta ask, because a lot of people don't ask them, because they don't want to be perceived as a bad person or a rude person or whatever. That's not rude. It's called doing reconnaissance.
Ask questions like, God, do you just not want me to have love? Why?
Of course, love enters the conversation now. Oh boy, okay.
You want this for me. Song of Solomon 2:2, let's go. Like a lily among the thorns, so is my darling among the maidens. And you might say, Claudia, what does this verse have to do with anything? And what this has to do with anything is that Song of Solomon is a whole book surrounding love. Two people who demonstrate very biblical love to each other. This is...
We're gonna conveniently leave out that it was written by Solomon, who was a king, who was... the supposedly the wisest man to ever live. We're going to leave that part out. Again, gentlemen, this is the problem. This is the equivalent of putting out like a celebrity marriage or using the British monarchy as a model for love. You know how high that bar is? That's a very high bar.
See, the problem with these types of women, I don't know her personally. She could be a nice person. But the problem is, I told you she was a hopeless romantic. She's quoting Song of Solomon. She's wearing a Mickey Mouse sweatshirt. And she's talking about how God should give her love. This is a hopeless romantic woman who wants to dance in the rain, who wants to do all these things. You're going to have to jump through so many hoops for this woman, and she's never going to be happy, and it's never going to be enough. I'm not letting you know that, straight up. Now, if you want to choose to still go for it, that's your choice. I'm letting you know, this is the problem. One of the problems with Christian love is that a lot of it is based off of fantasies. Based off of Bible stories that are not able to actually be applied in the modern day. No, it's not. It's not fiction, but it might as well be by today's standards. That's the point I'm making to you. We're not talking about how, okay, we live in an economy that's really supposed to be either A, you gotta make a lot of money as a man to have your wife stay at home, or two, you both have to work. Which then becomes, okay, then who does the household chores? And your wife's gonna complain because she's gonna see women on TikTok who don't do it, or women who talk about how, oh, we're partners. No, we're not partners. I'm not a rainbow person. That's where that lingo comes from. Well, let's see what else she got to say. She's not making a lot of... She's not off to a great start, but let's see. Maybe she'll come around.
This is Eros love. This isn't necessarily agape love. This book was...
Oh, now I'm getting a lecture about all the Greek words for love, okay?
Written before Christ comes. But it is a parallel to how Christ will love the church, okay? And what this verse is saying is he's basically... It's the guy. He's talking to the girl. And he's like, you don't know you're beautiful. But no, what he's...
Oh, and now we're quoting One Direction. Gentlemen, this is a terrible deal for you. I'm letting you know this right now. This type of woman right here, you're going to be miserable in this marriage, man. This woman is going to have you have a standard through the roof, and you aren't going to be able to do it. Never going to be enough. This is an insatiable woman right here. This is an insatiable woman right here. I'm letting you know that right off the rip. And Christian women, this is why a lot of Christian men are not getting married, or at least they're not thinking about doing it. Because you have become like the very people that you mock, the feminists. This is the subtle feminist programming that's come in there. Ma'am, at what point have you mentioned what you're going to give to this man that he should marry you? What are you providing to a Christian man that would lead him to say, all right, I'm going to get married not only to you, but to the state and in the eyes of God so that we can have a relationship? What have you said thus far that indicates that you're going to do anything for that guy other than give him a bunch of really high standards that he's going to have to try to hurdle every single day? And as he does that, he's going to raise his expectations even higher. What else have you said? Not much.
The thing is, I look at all these other girls and I see a bunch of thorns and you're like the flower. Like, I love you the most. I only have eyes for you.
Oh, they want Chad to only have eyes. Gentlemen, here's another problem that I need to address. When women talk about men, they're not talking about you. They're not talking about me. They're talking about Chad. They're talking about Tyrone. They're talking about the guys who are the 8s, 9s, and 10s. Who make a lot of money, who are good looking, who have a status. That's who they're talking about when they talk about men. The other guys, 7s and below, arguably 6 and below, they don't exist to these women. Okay? Now, as they get older, their standards might dip a little bit, or maybe after they get a breakup, their standards might go down a little bit. But overall, when they talk about men, they're not talking about you, they're not talking about me, they're talking about Chad, they're talking about Tyrone. That's what they're talking about. They're talking about these guys who are really good looking, guys who they want to love them. The average guy would give this woman a relationship, but guess what? She's single. What does that tell you?
All the hopeless romantics are going, oh, that's so cute.
What did I just say about hopeless romance? I can read this like a book. I told you.
Yeah, there's a whole book about it. Read about it. I want that. Me too. And guess what? God
wants it. Of course you want it. Women are hopeless romantics by nature. Of course you want romance. Duh. The hell? Of course you do. Who doesn't?
It's not for you. And here's what she's saying on a very real note. It's not that I don't want you to have love, son or daughter. I want you to experience perfect love, and that's why I'm requiring you to wait, because
no, you have to work for this love. It's not free. This is the problem. They want to sit back there and wait and be like, all right, God, give me my Prince Charming, have them just show up and give me all this love. Ma'am, you have to actually be a woman that guy would actually want to marry. And from the sound of it, the only thing you're going to give him is a list of stuff he needs to do to make you happy. That is not a good deal for a guy. Guys don't want to deal with that, okay? Oh, they might deal with it for one night when they're clapping your cheek, but they're not going to marry that. But yet, you want to use that same type of logic and then have a Christian relationship. No. No, it does not happening. And that's why, gentlemen, romance novels are... You are being compared to romance guys. Guys who don't even exist. That is who you're competing against. You need to be that guy who does not even exist. That's the equivalent of you comparing this woman to, like, Kate Upton. Or to some woman who's, like, highest of the higher tier, which you could argue she's not, but I'm using her as an example. They would say that's unfair, and it is. But then when I want to say that a woman like this comparing you to these romance novelists or guys like Solomon, who is a king, that's apparently fair game? I don't think so.
In my order, the way that I want things to go down, I want you to experience love in a beautiful way, the way I intended for it to experience. And so whenever you are following my righteous path, there are going to be people who I say, I'm not allowing them to be in your life, a wife, because they don't know me, and I am love. And if they don't know love itself, then how are they going to know how to love you? Saying some of y'all don't even know my love. You don't have a relationship with...
Ma'am, I love that we're quoting Song of Solomon, and we're not quoting Leviticus. We're not quoting Deuteronomy. We're not quoting any of the 12 books of Moses. We're not quoting the law. We're not quoting what God actually talks about, gender roles, and what men are supposed to do, and what women are supposed to do. That part is nowhere to be found. What's to be found is romance. That's all they want. But if I talk about me wanting sex, that's bad. I'm an evil guy. But you could talk about wanting romance all day, and that's not a problem, apparently. See, this is why we have to have this conversation. I don't do this, gentlemen, because I'm mad or upset. I do this because a lot of men can't translate what you're hearing the way that I can. And I'm happy to do it.
To me, you don't know my biblical pure love, so how are you going to recognize it whenever it walks through that door? You
apparently nobody else has either. Because if it did, you'd be married by now, but you're not.
Won't, because you don't spend time with me. You don't have a relationship with me where you understand what that love is. And this is the part that just... He said, Claudia, my love for you is not supposed to be symbolic of how one day you'll be loved by somebody. Their love for you in that romantic relationship is supposed to be symbolic about how I love you. A romantic relationship is meant to show you how I love you. I am not meant to show you how one day you could be loved by somebody else.
What? I know I just talked about how I'm great at translating, but that didn't make no sense. In other words, we're using God to not use as a guide, but as like a ideal that can't be reached? Like, huh? Ladies, if you're watching the show, can you please, like, translate this for me and for the guys watching this channel? Because that didn't make no sense. Did that make sense to anybody who's watching the show right now? Because that didn't make any sense to me. Holy crap, what is that?
And we get it so backward. And we say, well, we're in this waiting room, and I guess we'll have to settle for God's love. He goes, no, that was the point the whole time. Because some of y'all need a romantic relationship to understand how I love you.
All right, I've had enough of this. Why is this woman even talking about, man? Oh, man. What is she even talking about? In other words, you need to be a romantic... You need to be a romantic dream guy. And she's holding you to a God-level standard. Oh, that's great. Good luck with that. See, this is the problem. Where's the conversation at with, here's what I bring to the table, here's what I'm willing to do, this is what I want in return, let's make this work. Nowhere to be found. All there is to be found is, here's what I want you to do, here's what I expect from you, here's what God's telling you to do. Man, get that out of here. Oh, man. Oh, no. Where's the realism to be found? I'm not seeing it. My friends, if you made it this far, you probably have a headache like I do right now, and I apologize for that. I didn't know that was going to be that bad. I did not
watched that beforehand, and I am so glad I didn't, because I would have needed to take like a 30-minute nap after I did that, because I'm exhausted after watching that. That was tough, man. I'm not going to lie to you. That was tough. But if you appreciate the pain that I went through today for your all's sake, because, you know, I'm happy to do it, please let me know your thoughts, your comments about what you heard today. Feel free to drop a like on us. And look, I understand that everybody has their own path. Everybody does their own thing. So your experience is going to be different. Even if you disagree with me, I don't blame you. You probably don't want to accept the unfortunate realities that we face. And so you'd rather take it out on me than take it upon yourself to transform and to, you know, evolve and mature. But I understand. My friends, take care of yourselves, please. If you're anything like me, I might need to take an Advil after that. That was, I have a headache after listening to that. Ladies, if you want a man, please don't do what that woman did and give me a headache, or any other man a headache for that matter. My friends, take care of yourselves. Please do your own research. Please think for yourselves. I'm out of here. Peace.